Good morning. Welcome to you all. If this is your first visit, we're delighted to see you. Today we have three services, and you're welcome to all of them. Tea and coffee will be served around our worship services. You may have noticed that we have removed some of the chairs. This is to protect you, as you may also have noticed that we have a cracked window, but this will be repaired as soon as possible. Pastoral news. At the international music competition of this year, the London Grand Prize Virtuoso First Prize was won by Julia. Julia is... is here. Wow. Sulhee has arrived safely in Korea. Marguerite Scott is now out of hospital, but Peggy Chegwin remains in hospital and is slipping away. Today, we welcome So Young, who will be working closely with us for a good while. Where are you, So Young? Please stand and be welcome. And this week, our Lent 24 Hours of Prayer starts this Friday at 8 a.m. in the morning. So do come and join us whenever you can. You don't have to stay 24 hours. You don't have to stay 12 hours. You could even stay about half an hour, but I bet you'd stay longer. Thank you.
Let us join together to worship God and hear these words from the psalmist. The Lord is King, and the people tremble. God is enthroned above the winged creatures, and the earth shakes. In the presence of this God, we sing, "Be still for the presence of the Lord."
Thank you.
Please be seated. We join together to pray. Let us pray. Loving God, we spend every moment in your presence. We cannot escape from you, but for most of our time and most of our lives, we are not aware of it. But now, we come into your presence transfixed by your awesome holiness. We seek the wisdom to listen to you in prayer, the courage to obey you in living. And the sensitivity and willingness to encounter you when you choose to surprise us. We confess that there are times when we have ignored you and done our own thing. We have not listened and thought that we knew best. We have allowed the noises of the world to drown out your quiet voice. And we have taken you for granted. Forgive us. Listen to the good news. Through Christ we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be.
Am I on now? Oh, yeah, that's better. Okay, we'll start again. What's this? Star. Star. Is it shining? No, right. Let's go into the darkness. Is it shining now?
No.
Oh, it better had be. It is. It is. It is. Let's have a look. Hang on, let's make it a bit darker. Is it shining? Yeah? Yeah? Is it shining? Yes, you see. So it's not shining now. But the reason it's shining is because I've left it in the light all week. And it's absorbed the light. And when it's dark, I'm going to give you one of these each to take home. When it's dark, you can have it on your bedside table. And it'll shine in the dark. Okay, something else. Hang on a minute. Ooh, what's this? What sort of wire is it? Yeah, what do you think this is used for? Yeah, it's plugging your phone, that's right. So here's the phone. So, there's my phone. It says, ooh, that seems quite good. It's 97%, because that's been charging all night. But in about 2 days, if I don't charge it up again, what will happen? It'll break. It will break. It won't work anymore, will it? No, it's right. So what's the link between these then? She gets her notes out. So this phone needs to be connected to this in order for it to work. Okay? That star needs to have light to in order for it to shine. Okay? So we're a bit like that. When we pray or spend time with God, then we're sort of being recharged in a way. So We need to do it again and again. We can't just do it once and then it'll last forever. We've got to keep doing it again and again. So I'm going to give you each a star to take home. And you can use this when it shines in the night, when it's next to your bed. You can remember that you need to recharge yourself as well. by spending time with God.
Shouting Jesus shine. Come on, bring it on. Yeah, very relevant. It says what? It says, well, shin Jesus shin then. If it makes you happy, on you go. Your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free for the truth you now bring us. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this life in the Father's glory. Lay spirit blaze. Set our hearts on. Bring your star, bring your dinosaur. You never know when you might need a star or a dinosaur. So we've got, in the Gospel according to Luke, we have got Peter declares his faith. Jesus tells the disciples about his imminent death. And then this strange story, which Stuart Chandler will read to us.
The reading is from Luke 9, verses 28 to 36. About a week after he had said these things, Jesus took Peter, John, and James with him and went up a hill to pray. While he was praying, his face changed its appearance and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, two men were there talking with him. They were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in heavenly glory and talked with Jesus about the way in which he would soon fulfill God's purpose by dying in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were sound asleep, and they woke up and saw Jesus' glory and the two men who were standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, how good it is that we are here. We will make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not really know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them with its shadow, and the disciples were afraid as the cloud came over them. A voice said from the cloud, "This is my son, who I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice stopped, there was Jesus all alone. The disciples were kept quiet about all this and told no one at that time anything they had seen. Amen.
Amen. Change is difficult. Our changing view of a person, our changing views of truth and God are a challenge. Imagine that you had a pal that you knew was a bit different. And most of the time you walked about together and he did good things and you admired him and life ticked over. Then every now and then, mysterious things happened. And one of your group said that your pal was the Son of God. And the pal told you that he was going to be put to death. And you longed for the days of walking and stories. This transfiguration story is not for deconstruction. It is like a resurrection narrative. Indeed, some scholars believe that it is a resurrection narrative, which has been put in the wrong place. You do not understand a story like this by taking it to bits and trying to make it a natural event. It is not. It is a reminder to us that in dealing with Jesus, we are in the world of the supernatural and the mysterious. Christianity is not for the sensible. It is outlandish. It is not rational. It is not the rational outworkings of cold logic. It is the extravagant offering of love. You are with Jesus. He tells you about the fact that he is going to suffer and die. And your head is spinning, taking it in. What does he mean? Who is he? And a week later, you go onto a hill to pray. And in some way, his form is changed. And you have the sense of the presence of the great forebears of the faith, like Moses and Elijah. And then you leave and you do not want it to end. They leave and you do not want it to end. And as they are leaving, Peter shouts, trying to make it permanent, "Please stay. We will build houses for you." And in a cloud, a voice says, "This is my son. Listen to him." How can you have words for an experience like that? There are many instances where we run out of words. Things are too breathtaking, too shocking, too moving, too surprising to describe. Here we are in the world of symbols, even daft symbols. The tents are surely symbols of opening your mouth before you've thought something out fully, or the childish desire that you don't want things to change. or the voice of from heaven is a reminder of the importance of who Jesus is in the plans of God. And the cloud, a reference back to all those years in the desert, or the place of God in relation with Moses and the Exodus and the children of Israel. And the whole thing is in some way the story of a profound spiritual encounter, beyond words, beyond description. There are thousands of people in Britain who have had a dramatic, profound spiritual experience. There's a huge archive of their conversations. The interesting thing from the research is that they tell nobody about it. And the experience makes little difference to their lives. How do you describe such a thing? There are times when the words literally fail us. For example, imagine trying to describe to somebody what love is like. Some things are beyond words. What difference would a radical encounter with God make? Surely, I would suggest there are two options. Either it makes no difference. You just say, whoa. And then sometimes late at night, you tell somebody. But most of the time you don't tell. Because the other option is it changes everything. Because the foundations of your life are just different. This story is a milestone for the disciples on the road of transformation. It is an outlandish visual experience, and the call is listen to him. The whole thing says, he is worthy of being listened to. Which is interesting in our tradition, which is so word-based. But on this day, hallelujah, we have something that is not word-based to challenge us. We have something that is physical, but we also know it is mysterious. So when we look at it, what do we see? Do we see cubes of bread, or do we see a man who hangs on a cross? Do we see drops of wine, or the first taste of an eternal banquet? Let us be silent, and then we will pray. God of all times and places, you invite us to come up the mountain, and yet you are in all places, at all times you are, and there is not a place where you are not. in this country, with all the division, you are. In the hospitals, the doctor's surgeries, those who manage at home with carers, you are. In the hospices, around the beds, in the residential care homes, you are. In the offices, in the factories, in the spaces where people work, you are. In the homes and hostels, on the streets, you are. And with us, inspire and guide our transformation. We pray in the name of Jesus, our transfigured Saviour. Amen. We continue our worship as we make our offering. So let us pray. For the abundance of your gifts and graces to us, we give you thanks. Pour your Holy Spirit on bread and wine and money. May they be our heartfelt offering. Lord, we pray. Amen. The hymn, "Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence," 454, for those using paper. This is the Lord's table, and all are welcome here. When the elders bring you the bread, if it is your wish and your heart's desire, then please take bread, and after you've had a moment, eat it. And when the elders bring you the wine, please hold it, and we will all drink together. We know that some of us have issues with wheat and gluten, so for you, there is provision in these little fish shapes. And we know that some of us have issues with alcohol, so for all of us, there is no alcohol in this wine. As kingfishers catch fire, dragonflies draw flame, as tumbled over rim in roundy wells stones ring. Like each tucked string tells, each hung bell's bow swung finds tongue to fling out broad its name. Each mortal thing does one thing and the same, deals out that being indoors each other dwells, selves, goes itself, myself, it speaks and spells, crying, what I do is me, for that I came. I say more, the just man justices, keeps grace, that keeps all his goings graces, acts in God's eye what in God's eye he is, Christ. For Christ plays in 10,000 places, lovely in limbs and lovely in eyes not his, to the Father, through the features of men's faces. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is broken for you. In the same way, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let us pray. Lord, there are things that move us to give thanks. So we do. And there is Jesus, the life and the stories. The death and the suffering. The rising and the glory. And there is the Spirit, present, powerful, love, changing, bread, body, wine, blood, eyes open. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. at an ordinary Passover meal. As they had done many times, Jesus took bread, broke it, and said, "This is my body, broken for you." And as the wine was passed again, he took the cup and said, "This is my blood shed for you." Open our eyes, Lord Jesus. The body of Christ. O Lord, our Lord, your greatness is seen in all the world. Your praise reaches up to the heavens. It is sung by children and babies. You are safe and secure from all your enemies. You stop anyone who opposes you. When I look at the sky which you have made, at the moon and the stars which you set in their places, what are human beings that you think of them? Mere mortals that you care for them. Yet you have made us inferior only to yourself. You crowned us with glory and honor. You appointed us ruler over everything you made. You placed us over all creation, sheep and cattle and the wild animals too, the birds and the fish and the creatures in the seas. O Lord, our Lord, your greatness is seen in all the world. And even in us. Amen. Closing hymn is number 533, Lord of Good Life.
Thank you.
And now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God, and the blessing of God the Almighty, the Creator, the Son, and the Spirit, be with us and those who we love, wherever they are. Amen.